All right, talking baseball. It's not Marty Lurie. It's Bill Lasky. Marty's on a little break. Bill Lasky in for you as we bring in a great writer for KNBR.com. You can also hit him on Twitter, at Mark W. Sanchez. Welcome in, Mark. How are you doing this afternoon?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing good. Listen, I talked to Alex Dickerson, and he said he's going to put a little clause in his new contract to have you write more articles on him, because the last one you wrote, he was hitting .198, and since then he's hitting .268. In his last six games, he's 15 for 24, but he wanted me to thank you.
It's about time I got some credit. I mean, I've been waiting for that. Yeah, I mean, I have seen $0 of his paycheck so far, so I appreciate your...
It's the new contract, Mark. It's the clause in the new contract. But let's talk about him, Mark. Let's talk about Dickerson. He has just gotten hot, and of course... in Colorado, two doubles, three home runs, first player MLB, 12th player in Major League history, five extra base hits, six RBIs. Man, he was on fire last Tuesday, but he's been on fire a lot lately.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when he had, you know, one or two good games, we asked Kapler about him, and he said, you know, he's hitting well, but there's more in his bat. And I think that next day was the three home run, you know, history game. This is the Alex Dickerson we saw last year. And he was asked, you know, after that game, when's the last time that you felt this good? And he said, well, about a year ago when I came over from the Padres, and said, you know, it's at that point he had about 120 plate appearances or so between the Padres majors and minors. At this point, he's had about where he had about 100 plate appearances just with the Giants. And he said that's usually what it takes me to sort of get going and to be able to see the pitcher and know how my swing is feeling. So I guess if that's the little grace period and then he catches fire, the Giants will take this every year. Everything really came together at once, and it coincided really well with Brandon Belt catching fire, too, because they had not been hitting righties well for a while, and suddenly they're destroying righties.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right when you start looking at Dickerson, too. And he's very humble about everything. That's what I love about the guy. You know, he's just so humble. You see him laughing in the dugout. You see him smiling. And one of the things one of the reporters asked him, 16 total bases, and you tied Willie Mays for most bases all the way back to 1961. And I don't think he had an answer. He was like, I did? Willie Mays? You know, it was kind of like that. And, you know, when guys have good games like that and you start pulling up all these stats and having your same name next to Willie Mays, I think I'd have my mouth open a little wider than he did.
That's a good example of who he is. That, I mean, you touched on it. He's just a sort of goofy guy. He's funny. He's sarcastic. He's very down to earth, which doesn't really make much sense for, you know, a guy who can hit the ball better than just about any human. with the at least 99% of humans. But right, he is a pretty down-to-earth guy who's just very good at hitting a baseball. And then when he looks around and sees his name next to Willie Mays, I mean, that's tough to put into words, really.
Yeah, I tell you what, the whole pregame show, of course, we've been talking about the number one highlight today is Madison Bumgarner in a Diamondback uniform getting on the mound at Oracle Park today, you know, 6:15, and Trevor Cahill get out there first. He'll be in that dugout thinking about the top three hitters, and you covered him. You understand where Madison's from. What are you expecting out of him today?
It didn't surprise me at all yesterday when he said this is just another start, because that is the at least the aura he likes to stroke around him, that he never feels like he wants a game to be bigger than it is, that he always wants to go and execute the same game plan regardless of who's on the other side. At the same time, I don't think it's a coincidence that he's returning today. He wants to see these Giants. He wants to send a little message to the team and or to the organization that, you know, he still has it. Whether he still has it, we'll figure it out. But he's absolutely going to be pumped, even if he'll never say that. You know, when Brandon Belt steps up there, you do wonder, are they going to lock eyes for a moment and just give a little head nod? It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be so strange seeing him out there and not in a Giants uniform. But this is what he wants. He always wants the big moment, and he will always downplay it publicly. And that's exactly what's happened this time.
Yeah, I'm just anxious to see about the velocity. We've been hearing about it. Oh, it's on, you know, high 80s and different things like that. The cutter, of course, that was one of his best pitches he's developed here when he was with the Giants. And I just want to see how he how his mannerisms are on the field, how he's going after some of these hitters. Because really, Flores is about the only one that really has opened in my eyes. He's 5-for-20 off of him. Darren Ruff, 2-for-9. But these other guys, I want to see how Brandon Belt goes in. Brandon Belt's playing today. I want to see if there's any kind of smile or a tip of the hat or anything when he gets in the batter's box. And, you know, Madison is going to be grunting out there. He's going to be mad as hell. And, you know, but it's just going to be fun for Giant fans to see the guy that we watched grow up right in front of our eyes for 3 World Series champions. And I keep reflecting on the Kansas City series when he took it on his back and won the 3rd World Series for the Giants. Are you expecting, you know, how are you expecting to watch him pitch today? Are you looking for velocity? Are you looking for breaking ball? Are you looking for anything different in his mechanics?
I only know one Madison Bumgarner, and that's one who does not back away from anyone at the plate. He's not a guy who's desperate to hit a corner because he's scared to show too much of a pitch and get a little bit of a play. At the same time, that is what, or part of what has burned him this year, where when you don't have quite the same stuff and you're still trying to go eye to eye with hitters, you know, he was touched up quite a bit. You know, he was asked yesterday and he said, I don't expect anything big stuff-wise in terms of a difference from where he was at, where he blamed it on this summer, that he didn't have, you know, the full time to really work himself up. And he's such a creature of habit that he has his body down to a science, and this season has not allowed that science to flourish. And without that, you know, he was struggling to hit 89, and he signaled that will probably be the case again. Now it's Madison Bumgarner. So he I think, thinks he can grit his way past any hitter, and he has for the most part. But when can he still do that when he's throwing 88? He hasn't been able to so far, at least.
Yeah, we're speaking to Mark Sanchez. You can see and hear his, or you could read his work. He's a Giants insider on KNBR.com, also on Twitter at Mark W. Sanchez. As we get into the game today, 6:15 start. One of the other things I want to throw to you is about the bullpen. The bullpen was doing so good. And last weekend, when you had Coonrod close out, I really thought, in my opinion, I thought that's where he was going to land. I thought that was throwing 101, kind of gave him that opportunity. Then when he went to Colorado, I kind of scratched my head when I saw him come in the sixth inning. It kind of, I didn't think, why is he doing that? And, of course, he walks the first hitter, and he just came unglued. And then yesterday did the same thing. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Is he a closer? Is he a middle guy? What position in that bullpen is Sam Coonrod?
I think they want him to be a closer. I think they want him to be what Trevor got opened up the season as, but they also want him to earn that. And, you know, they want to see him in a couple different roles. You know, he can go the ninth. Can he go the seventh? Can he get 3 or 4 scoreless innings in a row, and then they can move him back to the ninth, you know, sort of permanently? But he hasn't done that. And you're right, where you can sort of tell how he's going to go really after the first hitter. Mm-hmm. Where he might be throwing 101 and the guy takes 3 hacks and then sits down, and he might be trying to nibble on the corners, and the fastball is not quite as fast as it was when he first came off the IL. It's now 98, 99 instead of 100, 101, which does make a difference. But he hasn't been able to really put up consistent efforts out of the bullpen, and that's what they want from their ninth inning guy, even though they will never say they have a ninth inning guy just because of this philosophy with the team. So I do think they want him to have that role, but he has not yet shown that he can put the efforts together to really grab that spot.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, and it's just kind of a mindset, because I've always talked about bullpens, and Jeremy Affelt and all, Javi Lopez always talk about having your role in the bullpen, and they just don't want to do that so far. Sure, we've seen Rodgers, we've seen Watson in the 7th and 8th innings, but I really thought after Sunday, and this is my opinion too, I really thought they were going to, hey, that's your job. You're the closer. You know, you're throwing the ball well, and the smile on his face, and just the way a quick 1-2-3 and a couple grounders at first base. That's why when he was warming up in a Colorado game when it was 4-1, I'm like, what are they doing? I'm a pitcher. I got a pitcher's mind. I really thought Trevor Gott was going to go in that scenario. That's where I thought Trevor Gott would have fit in perfect in that 6th, 7th, 8th inning, and he's throwing the ball a lot better. What are your thoughts about Trevor Gott so far?
Well, I'll say first that that's a pretty perfect example of the 2020 Giants, that they don't have a whole lot of experience in their bullpen, guys who will go up to Kapler and say, I want an inning. They have guys who are happy to be throwing major league innings because they've thrown a lot of minor league innings. And so Sam Coonrod's not going to go up to him and say, I think I've earned this spot. Yeah. They are just guys who are happy to be here. And that's sort of what they don't like set roles, because, you know, if you've got a 9th inning righty closer and there are 3 lefties coming up, then they're going to want Tony Watson there instead of Trevor Gott or Sam Coonrod. But back to Gott, he not only has he looked back to himself, but I think he's sort of settled down on the mound a little bit, where you saw him when, you know, he would walk a guy and then he would take off his hat and he'd be rubbing his brim and he'd be walking around the mound, and clearly the moment was starting to get to him. And I think it got to be after a little while that, you know, after he's got 1 or 2 blow-ups, then, oh, no, it's happening again. I think he's really taken a step back and looked at himself and gotten that attitude sort of under control, where he's – you can tell he's just attacking them one at a time. He's not letting a hit get to him, and he's looked much better the last couple outings.
You're listening to Bill Lasky filling in for Marty Lurie on Talking Baseball. We're talking to Mark Sanchez from KNBR.com. Another name in that bullpen that I'm catching eyes on is Sam Selman. 2 perfect innings yesterday, a nice breaking ball, spotting the fastball a lot better. And I'm looking to him kind of gauging a little bit more from the left-hand side. And I think the confidence factor, he's building it because he's putting a lot of zeros on the board lately. What do you think about Selman?
Might be the most impressive guy. Well, next to Watson, he might be the most impressive guy to me through this early part of the season. Or I guess not even early part, through the first 39 games of the season.
Yeah.
He is a curiosity because he's only got 2 pitches. He's got a fastball and he's got a slider. And
that's it.
I think
that's it.
That's it. And the concern always is, will they, I mean, they do realize this, but after a guy has seen him, will he then figure him out? And so far, the answer has been no. The slider is remarkable. The fastball is actually, I mean, it jumps on hitters, but it's low 90s, where last year it was high 80s. That he's really, he worked a lot in this offseason to get another 1 or 2 miles per hour, and that's really made a big difference. His story is remarkable, where 2 off seasons ago now, he was a free agent a minor league free agent who took some real estate interviews because he was ready to be done with baseball, didn't know if another job was coming, went to Driveline, the sort of pitching camp, and they worked with him, and the Giants found him there. So he is another guy who is just very much happy to be here and ready to fill any role that he can. And it's just remarkable how good he's looked so far.
You know, I want to talk a little bit, Mark, about the NL West. The Dodgers, of course, 30-10. They won their 30th game last night. The San Diego Padres just made some remarkable trade deadlines. And these two teams are kind of separating from the rest, Colorado, the Giants, and Arizona. How can the Giants realistically kind of catch these two teams when they're so damn potent in everything, from hitting to pitching to bullpen? Both of those two teams could go head-to-head to see who's going to go in the World Series for the National League.
I think you just made a very good argument that the Giants cannot catch those two teams, and I would strongly agree with that argument. Right. I think that, I mean, the Dodgers are, I think, a class unto themselves, and the Padres are rising up and trying to match their level. the Giants just aren't there yet. They can play the Padres tough. They're not going to get blown out. It's not going to be one of those series, and they will see each other a bunch over the next couple of weeks. But I don't think that catching them is a lot to ask for the Giants. They've got a very good shot at a wild card, and that's, I think, their best route to the playoffs, because they've got two really, really good teams. And I think the concern is they're really, really good teams that really have staying power. And the Padres, even with their trades, have, you know, one of the best or three best minor league systems in all of baseball still. The Dodgers are always loaded. So that's going to be a problem for them to deal with, really, for years to come. And I don't really see that the Giants making up that gap this year.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Padres just made them so stronger, and they were a good team before, and just some great moves by them. And, you know, the Dodgers are just a remarkable team. I watched them face the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks faced them every game. It was a good game, but there was that last second. I think they've won 10 straight at home, and they're just one guy, another guy, another guy. Another. I mean, they're just so strong in every aspect. And their bullpen, they went and got some pitchers this year for that bullpen, because that was their more or less their negative punch. And I just think that team at 30-10 is just so strong. And the Padres, I think, could contend with them. But I'm going to leave you with this. Do or die, the Giants have to really play well this weekend and against Seattle. They could see this wild card flavor fall right out if they don't do something in the next five games.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this might be the most important homestand of the year, because this is really when they're supposed to feast. You know, these are teams that really they should beat. I think they're better than the Diamondbacks. I'm not sure there's an argument the other way, and they're better than the Mariners. And then they're going to San Diego, and we just went over how powerful they are. This is really when they can win five in a row and sort of separate themselves in this wild card spot. And if they don't, then that's a real issue going to San Diego.
Well, Mark, wait for that check from Alex Dickerson. He told me he threw it in the mail, and, you know, he's always checking the mail for you. But, again, thanks for all your good stuff. You can read Mark on KNBR.com. Once again, Mark Sanchez, enjoy the game today, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Thanks so much, and for being my agent, apparently. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I take 6%, Mark. Have a good day, Mark. I'll talk to you on Monday. I'm not in tomorrow. I'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks, Mark. That was Mark Sanchez. You can read him on KNBR.com.